massive monster menaces the world. Threatening. The most intimate terror a woman ever felt. Because of an experimenter with life. The incredible two-headed transplant.
Who are you?
I'm your brother.
You and I are now one.
Get the guns.
Up there in the loop last night.
A couple of kids claim they saw a giant with two heads to it.
Doc's picked up the scent. Come on.
Oh, sure.
No woman is safe from his deadly embrace. No man is safe from his killer lust.
So that was the trailer for The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant.
And welcome to episode 84 of Unsolved Spectators. We review The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant from 1971. a real barn burner.
It was a weird one. And it's also weird to look and see that this was a rated GP, like all ages admitted.
Yeah.
I don't understand how this was acceptable for kids, but what did you think of The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant?
I thought it was fun. You know, I mean, it cheesy, but fun.
Yeah. It's weird seeing Bruce Dern and Casey Kasem act together.
Yeah, and did you notice that they used Casey Kasem to be the radio announcer?
Yes, I noticed that.
For like the warning that the killer was on the loose.
I hope he got double pay for that. But from what I read, Bruce Dern didn't even get paid for this movie.
I'd be surprised if anybody got paid.
Yeah, so I read that he got like a check for $1,700, and when he tried to cash it, it wouldn't clear. It bounced. So he went to the set the next day to ask about it, and the whole set and everything was gone. Like, he was supposed to still be acting, but they had shut down production. So this film was done in 6 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad, but you know.
Yeah, it's fun. I tried to look for something in here that was interesting, but it was like, you know, the Bruce Dern not getting paid was just kind of the only real story about it, because it was just kind of I don't know. It's just weird having Casey Kasem in it, because like, I grew up with Casey Kasem doing the American Top 10.
And top 40.
Top 40. Well, he did top 40 and then he did top 10, because I was looking at his career. And then you get into like his whole family career, or his whole family debacle, because he had married Jean Kasem and she fought all his kids for his money. And so it's just a hot mess of a disaster.
But yeah, for a while they didn't know where the body was.
So weird. So fucking weird, man. And I only know Jean Kasem from Cheers, and she's in Ghostbusters for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, she was a weird one. Also, Marilyn from Monsters is pretty good.
Yeah, Pat Priest shows up and she plays Marilyn, the second Marilyn, after the first season on the Monsters, and she's she's the hot chick that the monster's going after. Which it's kind of weird because they do use this giant man to be like mentally impaired, and they call him a retard a lot.
Well, it was 71. They called everybody retards then.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's weird, you know, and then they go and there's this evil guy who's tried to rape a Pat Priest, and so they're going to kill him, but they want to use, they want to keep him alive, or they want to keep the son alive, the mentally incapacitated, so they want to put this head on him. So the head takes over the body while the body has to witness all the horrors that this guy's creating. Because did you see him crying while he was attacking the girl that one time?
Yeah, because he's not smart enough to take over his own body.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's just riding along, basically.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a bad Frankenstein. It's the monster cut loose. So for a long time, you just see the monster going through town and going every kind of incident. And that's where I fell asleep. So, you just kind of go, okay, I know he's going to attack people. Like, you could kind of see where this is on the edge of the slasher movies that would be coming in the next decade, because it's really just him attacking people.
Yeah.
Bikers, women. He eventually gets back to the lab where the woman's held captive and goes after her again. And then they come to the final conflict where they try to kill him, and Casey Kasem and the girl leave when the whole posse shows up of police and quote deputies that have been deputized into hunting down this madman.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, nothing special, but it was fun to see Bruce Dern, you know, right before Silent Running.
Oh, and I love some Silent Running. I love that movie. And this is so different for him, but it's so wild that they did all of this in 6 fucking days. Like, how is that even possible?
Well, I mean, watch the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it really is you're watching the two-headed guy to see when is it a doll and when is it another actor hanging over his shoulder, you know?
What they did, they used the killer and they attached the other guy to the front of him.
Yeah. So the one thing I did notice is the guy that wrote this also wrote the other two-headed movie that we see more than anything. I'm trying to remember what that other two-headed movie, it's
How to Get Ahead in Advertising.
Yeah, but it's not the Incredible Two-Headed Transplant. There's like another one that The Thing with Two Heads.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause you see that, cause it's got Rosie Grier and Ray Milland in it, which is pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, that's a better movie, you know.
Well, he learned how to write it 2 years later, so we should have revisited that one.
Much better
seen that one. I've seen that one. You've seen it too, right? Okay. All right. So I would say it's worth a watch to see Bruce Dern, to see Casey Kasem.
That's yeah, really don't pay it. For it.
Yeah, do not pay for it. It's on Tubi. It's free. But yeah, it's not worth paying for.
So what have you been watching?
I have been watching some classics. I went back and watched Maximum Overdrive.
Oh.
I love that movie, as dumb as it is. And people who've never seen it always go, it's Stephen King directing Stephen King with cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
That is the movie he's talked about being on cocaine the whole time while doing it. And it is a blast. The weirdest part of this is it's such a weird movie, but then it got remade later in a movie called Trucks that was on Sci-Fi Channel. So there are two versions of a Stephen King movie that are really bad shit, but I prefer the cocaine-driven one. Maximum Overdrive has the best soundtrack. Yardley Smith is in it. One of the few times you get to see her in live action. She voices. She does voices on The Simpsons.
And a known Scientologist.
Oh, yeah. Very well-known Scientologist. She used to leave messages as Bart Simpson on people's voicemail. Stern used to play that a lot, of her trying to get people to come to classes, pay for classes, and, you know, you'll get to see Xenu someday. Exactly. But
throw her into a volcano.
Yeah, I was just trying to squeeze in some more weird-ass Halloween movies, and so Maximum Overdrive, we watched Halloween night, when we got, like, 6 trick-or-treaters. It was really a bummy Halloween, because we kind of prepare. We get quite a bit of candy, and I hand out comics, and we gave out 6 comics, and that was it.
Yeah, we turned the lights off and hid behind the couch.
No one came into our neighborhood. It was just everyone had shut off their porch light. I saw 5, like, we're a house on a corner, so I can see up and down both streets. There were 5 porch lights in our neighborhood, so I could see why people just didn't stop. I mean,
yeah. I think after the first year after the pandemic, you know, went crazy, it was pretty good. But now people just...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, well, other than, like, just the increase in violence in the world, you don't want to go to a stranger's house. Because there was even a story of a kid who left, like, a Halloween bag the wrong porch, and the owner drew a gun on the kid.
Okay. Let's stop. Increase in violence.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Because according to FBI, according to their statistics, violence has been going down since 1993. So it's all in your fucking head, and all generated by the media that there's an increase in violence, dude.
I don't know. I see quite a bit of police chases in my area. Like,
Is it violent?
Yeah, they end up shooting the guy. There was a guy over here.
Well, violence from the police, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
Well, okay.
Then the FBI doesn't count that as violence, because that's the rise in violence.
Look. With guns, they only count gunshot when people get shot by guns, they only count it if they get killed.
Oh, fucking A.
If it just hurts them, it's not non-violent. A gun thing. I mean, dude, they fucking weirdy fucking it's all bullshit.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you're getting stats from the government about how the government's doing the best for you, you got to question those stats, especially when you see shit around you.
However, with the amount of the increase in the amount of hospitals and ability to take care of gunshot wounds, they have way fewer deaths than they used to have compared to the amount of gunshot wounds.
Well, they got better healthcare.
Huh?
We got better healthcare, better doctors, better science.
Yeah, that's what better trauma surgeons.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all weird now. I mean, it's very hard to compare stats and what actually is happening.
Yeah. I think I've told you this story about my brother, because this is why we stopped talking. I had seen a video. I can't remember the kid's name, but it was a 12-year-old kid that was playing in a playground that the cops got called because they claimed that this kid had a gun. And it's just a kid on a playground. So I see this video where you see the cops roll up on this kid, and he's just playing. He's not doing anything. And they claim that he had a toy gun, but you never see it. So this kid's playing. The cops roll up. The car doesn't even stop before the cop jumps out of the car and just starts shooting this kid in the back. And I'm just like horrified, because you can tell it's a kid.
Yeah.
But because they called it in as a gun, the cop just unloaded on him. And I was just like disgusted by it. I had posted some sort of social commentary online. And of course, you know, that bullshit doesn't matter to anyone. But my brother called. No. My brother, because anytime I post any anti-police, he gets his feathers in a ruffle. But it's like the police never come out and say, hey, we have a few bad apples, and I'd like to say something about those bad apples. They have a union that protects them. They are all brotherhood of police officers, and they're not going to rat on anyone else, especially if they've like killed someone. So my brother tells me, and I ask him, I said, have you ever seen this footage of this 12-year-old kid getting shot? And he goes, yeah, I have. And you know what? I do the same thing. And I was like, you'd kill a kid that you weren't sure had a gun? He goes, yeah. We don't speak anymore after that, because I'm just like, you're just a bad person, man. Like, you're willing to like give up your soul to be one of these cops that are just doing fucking evil shit and agreeing with them so that you are part of this brotherhood. I don't get it. It's just fucked.
People get on a side and they don't care. Just if you give them evidence to the contrary, it's their wrestling side, their team. So you can't reason with that shit.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of shit. It's just fucked up that someone would tell me, they're okay killing a kid. I don't want to live with a person who is okay with that kind of murder.
So I watched The Nun 2.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear about this.
This is pretty fucking good.
What? You're the first person I've heard say this. Holy
yeah,
shit.
I enjoyed it. I like The Nun 1, and I like The Nun 2.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll give it a chance. My buddy Mike watched it, and he was just kind of put out by the end. But
dude, it's much better than the two-headed... transplant.
Yeah, so, there's a lot better than the two-headed transplant,
you know. So I mean, it was fine with me. Then I watched Band of Brothers.
Oh wow, that's a great watch.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
It's a feel good, but it's also, I think, it's a weird
feel good.
Well, you feel patriotic for the people who fought on our behalf.
Okay.
I'm talking about the same thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have a hard time thinking war is feel good and visiting concentration camps.
No, I'm talking about the soldiers, because you're getting the soldier story of these guys who left their family to fight injustice in the world.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the perspective I'm coming from.
Oh, okay. But yeah.
You don't feel good about the concentration. You don't feel good about the death, but you feel good like this was the last time America was in a war that was justified.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably the last time the world has been a war that's justified.
Yep, exactly. And an incredible cast, man. I forget how many fucking awesome people are in this movie.
There's a huge amount of good folks in it, man.
Yeah, but Damian Lewis is the star of that. I feel like he's the guy who rose to the top. That's why he ended up in multiple series after this.
Yeah, then I watched The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I've never seen it before, so
Oh, really? God, when I was a step parent, God, me and Spencer would watch that all the time. It was just a funny thing to watch a kid get caught up in all the darkness that's in Jack Skellington's world. Uh-huh. He used to love the guy that would have the hatchet in his head, who'd just say, "Bunny."
Yeah, that was fun. Then I finished watching Oz. A real feel-good show.
Come on. Come on now. What's the feel-good part of prison?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Then I watched City of Industry.
I don't know that.
Really good. Harvey Keitel. Pretty fantastic movie, man.
From 97?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's on Tubi. Okay, cool.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out.
I've never seen this.
Then I watched The Reality Bites. I've never seen it before.
Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite Gen X movies. So what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
I mean, it's a great snapshot of that time period.
Yeah. I enjoyed watching it.
I've related a little in the sense that I worked at Gap Kids back in the 90s.
Oh, really?
I worked in the storeroom of a Gap Kids in Dallas right after I got out of college. I couldn't find any real work, so I was working a minimum wage gig there. Well, I was making more than minimum wage, but yeah, just stocking, you know.
Yeah, I never worked at a clothing store. Although, actually, I worked at Kmart for 2 days.
Oh, wow.
I worked in the women's lingerie section. And on the second day, this big black woman came up to me, held up this skimpy lingerie, and asked me how she would look in it. And I didn't lie and quit. I was like, no thanks. I quit.
This is a trick question.
Dude, that was, I've done 2 days at Kmart and Burger King.
Wow. Burger King was a quick out too.
Yeah. I got hired as like a night cleanup guy, you know?
Yeah.
One of those. Fucking sucked, dude.
Wow. I worked, my first job was at Bonanza. I bus tables.
Uh huh.
I lasted, I think, maybe a month at that. You just hustled your ass off for nothing. I think minimum wage at the time was like $3.15 an hour. But again, you could get more shit for that back in the day. And I just remember learning how food was done there, because we would have these big fucking soup dishes, and guys would reach in with their bare hands to stir it up. Like, there was no instrument to get shit off the bottom, and so they would just use their bare hands to stir up the soup. Food that had fallen on the floor got served. Uh-huh. It was just mega gross. I would never. I mean, again, it's Bonanza. It doesn't exist anymore. So,
yeah, gross. I worked at Pizza Inn, and I found out that one of my cooks pissed in the sauce bucket. And I mean,
fuck, are you for real?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I worked at
it was a friend of mine. And I'm like,
and he didn't tell you?
Well, I found out later. After he had not stopped working there, you know?
The sauce started to taste better after he left?
Well, I mean, I think he only did it once, but I don't know.
Fuck. I worked at a pizza place. It was pretty fun. I mean, you got to do deliveries and you got to meet wild-ass people. And we used to be next to a video store, so we would get a lot of overflow from there. But we had this fucking weird guy who, like, he came in and, like, we had a delivery to a spot that he knew. Like, he knew these people, and he's like, they don't tip. They're assholes. Like, so he swept up the floor, and because they had, like, a Supreme pizza, he put that in the sauce and then covered it with cheese and the topping so you couldn't see all the stuff he had swept up off the floor and served it to him.
Yeah, all that shit happens, dude. It totally does. That's why you always want to be nice to service people, you know?
Exactly, because they're touching your food and they could make it way worse. But I had a manager. That was when I first really got into around a lot of people who were doing drugs, because my manager was doing a lot of drugs at the time. And so I came in to pick up my paycheck one day and they asked me if I could stay and help because the boss had kind of OD'd. He had taken enough that he was in the back laying on all the pizza bags because he couldn't get himself together to work. Mm-hmm. And we went back there to check on him and he is just sweating. And he's like, thanks guys for helping. Thank you. Thank you.
One time my a manager, he had stole all the money from the safe and disappeared, you know. And they called me in to run the store and I was tripping on acid.
Oh shit.
So I had to come in tripping on acid going, I'm here. You know, like, oh fuck, here we go. I had to drive there, you know.
Oh, fucking hell. How'd you drive on acid?
Very carefully.
We failed a health inspection one time because they found a beer bottle at the bottom of a trash can full of flour. We had had a party the night before where it was just a handful of us and the video crew hanging out in our store, eating pizzas, drinking beer. And so my boss, the guy that had OD'd before, was talking to the video guys and he's like, man, you guys always get hot chicks in there. I saw this chick come in and she's driving this like red Fiero, and he starts describing this girl and the guy across the table is like, his eyes are getting bigger because it's his girlfriend. And so he fucking slams his fist down and he's like, motherfucker, you're talking about my girlfriend. And he goes, well, dude, you got a hot girlfriend. And the guy jumps across the table to attack him. And they start fighting and rolling around on broken glass. So we've got this tile in there. We got these two big motherfuckers fighting. One is actually not trying to fight. He's just trying to pull the guy off. So we were able to separate them and put that guy outside. But he started banging on the glass. We thought he was going to break the glass. And he had blood all over him. So he starts putting blood on the outside of the glass of the store. And we had, luckily, like a cop drove by, so he took off. They never stopped, but it was enough to scare him. And so when, after he left and we looked around, we had like blood all over the store where these two had rolled around and gotten on the walls, on the glass. So we had to do an intense cleaning. So like we broke down, cleaned every drop of blood, threw away a bunch of shit, cleaned off the windows. I mean, the fucking store looked brand new. And then the next day, the health inspector showed up and found a beer bottle. And and that kind of fucked us on our health inspection.
Jesus. So I finished watching the second season of Our Flag Means Death.
Oh, we haven't even started, man. I'm looking forward to it. Do you love it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
What else have you been watching?
Revisited another classic. This is Spinal Tap. I hadn't watched that in a long time, and I'm like going, this is fucking brilliant. Like, oh, yeah. I do wonder, though, as we get older, like, is this an unappreciated gem by the new generation? Will kids get this a Spinal Tap, or is it such a snapshot of that time period in musicians, or will musicians always have those same problems that Spinal Tap had?
No, musicians today, they're not crazy that it used to be.
Kanye West.
Yeah.
He's fucking crazy.
Well, sure. Yeah.
I don't think you could parody his mental illness. Otherwise, it'd just be considered an attack.
Yeah, I don't think, like, generally, musicians don't like that anymore, though.
Yeah, I know that they did that one music parody a while back, Never Stop Stoppin', that was supposed to be a parody of, like, the music scene at that period. And I could even really get into that movie. I didn't really see it as funny as Spinal Tap. So it may be a generational thing that's going to be our biggest parody of that time.
Yeah, I definitely agree, man. I mean, they're not even, people aren't really that funny anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, when Christopher Guest is gone, parody's done.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been able to pull it off in all his films, but it's so wild that parody is, like, not considered a good art form anymore.
Yeah, they don't get it.
Yeah, they can't execute it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I also watched, I think it was just because it had popped on Pluto or Tubi in one of their, or no, I think it was Pluto, a movie called Hangman. And I was like, well, what is this? I don't recognize anyone in it. And it's one of those that when you look at the DVD cover or the poster cover, it was the first movie by Sandra Bullock. So they put her as kind of the star of the poster. And she is such a minor character in this movie. She's like a kidnapped girlfriend who shows up at the beginning and at the end of the movie. And she's not very good in it. So it's really tough to watch. But it was one of those weird things, like back in the 80s and 90s, where somehow kids could get caught up in some sort of CIA trap that's going on, and these international spies kidnap his girlfriend. He's got to work with the CIA to get her back. It's really weird because it doesn't decide that it's like a kid's movie like War Games, or it's an adult movie with like a lot of violence. It's just all over the place. It really, it's really weird, but it's neat to see Sandra Bullock like that young and just not being able to do Sandra Bullock. Like, you know, I've seen her carry full movies like Gravity or see her just be fun in a movie like Heat, and then see her in this and just see, like, she has the charisma, but she doesn't have the talent to execute the lines that she's given. She isn't there yet.
Yeah, well, she was young, so.
Yeah, yeah. She was just working. She was trying to figure it out. I watched another movie I hadn't seen ever. It was a horror movie that had been on Shudder for a while called The Prowler.
Uh-huh.
And the whole premise of the movie is there's a guy who's sent to war. His girlfriend writes him a Dear John letter, and this is World War II. He comes back and sees that she's hooked up with another guy, so he murders both of them.
That makes sense.
There you go. 30 years later, in the 80s, I think it's 81 this movie takes place, the local high school kids want to have another dance in the location where the murders took place. And So the Prowler shows back up and starts killing people because they're using this location now. And that's really kind of it. It's just a weird, like, well, what if we used a World War II guy as the villain and he's just killing people because they're using this building? It doesn't have a whole lot to offer. It was weird because it was one I looked up and they had a soundtrack that was, hey, I'm recording here. Chill out.
Chill out, doggies.
Yeah, we're almost done. Dogs wanted to be on air. But yeah, it looks like this movie actually had like a soundtrack release in 2019. So it's sometimes really weird to look at some of these movies that I'm like, so then I start listening more to the music in the movie and was trying to see like what was so great about it, but it was nothing special. But I guess there's enough diehard fans of the soundtrack that it got a vinyl release. Yeah.
Man, soundtrack people are weird.
Hey, I'm a soundtrack guy. I do have some soundtracks that I absolutely fucking love. Another one.
What's your favorite soundtrack?
Like where it's just the music or the...
The music.
Man, it might be Pulp Fiction.
Mine is Less Than Zero.
That's really fucking good. You got the
Going back to Cali?
I forget that should have been there.
Hazy Shade of Winter? I mean, Jesus.
I know. It's so weird because like LL Cool J is now like the host of things. He's not like a rapper like he used to be. He's like...
Right.
Oh, so weird. What else you been watching? Good.
Oh, so I watched Malcolm X. I've never seen it before.
Oh, I've never seen it either. I've been wanting to watch
it. Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's free. I think it's free on Tubi.
It should be. It's like a history lesson.
Yeah, definitely awesome movie, man.
Yeah, that's one I've always kind of lumped in with Gen X films just because it was from Spike Lee. And Denzel Washington, but I feel like that's more of an American film. Like it took place at a time period where it definitely was telling a story about America and not just our little window of time.
Yeah, but, and it goes from the 30s through the mid 60s, you know.
Yeah, and you're getting real stories from Spike, not like the probably paragraph you get in high school about Malcolm X.
Oh yeah. It's fucking 3 hours long. So
yeah. Yeah. You just get no real history of Malcolm X in school at all.
Yeah. So I definitely love that. Then I watched Cop Out again.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I cannot bring myself to watch that again. That is, I love Bruce and I love Tracy, but man, that's a bad movie.
It's bad, but Tracy's funny.
He is funny. He is great in that, but he's...
And Bruce isn't.
Bruce is not. Bruce does not want to be there.
He's the whole time you hear him cashing a check during the whole movie.
Have you ever seen Kevin Smith's bit about Bruce Willis working with Bruce Willis?
No.
Okay, so I went and saw Kevin Smith with my buddy Terry here in Dallas. He was doing one of his shows back then before he was podcasting. Mm-hmm. And then he went down to Austin. We went down to Austin and saw him there too. But he does tell this story quite a bit about working with Bruce Willis of like never meet your heroes because it was just so depressing to meet him that like when he was there ready to shoot and start day one, that Bruce kind of showed up and went through the script and found what he felt was worth shooting that day. He's like, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. He had a term for it. I can't remember what it was, but he found like the real meat and bones of what he needed to shoot. And that's what he shot. And
yeah, the best line in that movie is Tracy said, have you seen Die Hard? And Bruce says, I've never seen that movie.
Yeah, that's probably the best line in it. It's really rough to watch because Bruce is just kind of, I don't know, like Death Wish is pretty bad too. Bruce is just cashing a check in that one too, and it's sad to watch because it's supposed to be about a guy seeking vengeance and he seems to be smirking through the whole film, you know, like he's kind of enjoying just killing people after people, and then at the end it's kind of like, hooray, I did it, you know?
Yeah, it seemed ever since Demi Moore left him, he sucked as an actor.
Yeah, it may have broken him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to analyze that and see at what year that they divorced and what were his movies after that. But yeah, it's really, he's going to have a sad legacy that he sold off the digital rights to use himself in movies. I feel like we're going to start to see some Bruce Willis movie. I mean, granted, for the past 3 years, the Bruce Willis movies we've gotten are very low quality because he is unaware where he's at. I've heard stories from, especially like when he shot the Unbreakable trilogy, the last film, Glass, that a lot of the time he was just like put into a position and he has an earpiece and they would try to feed him lines or just have him sit there because he just didn't know where he was at, because it was eating away at him that early that he, a lot of the times he would talk to people who were there like on set with him and he's like, I know why I'm here. Why are you here? Like, he was just scatterbrained. But I don't know who's making those business decisions for him to be on set and do those things. I mean, I would assume it's his family and friends maybe influencing him, because he obviously is not coherent enough to make those decisions. I kind of consider Death Wish his last like movie, because he seems to be there but just doesn't care.
Right. Then I watched The Cable Guy.
I almost watched that again. Yeah, like I really hated that when it first came out, but I've kind of come around on it, that it's just a really dark comedy.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I mean, had a good time. Jim Carrey for me is hard to watch.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, liar,
I do all not that like stuff. That
just not funny, but this is okay.
Yeah. It's him being like himself to the point of almost being twisted. So it's a little different take on him trying to be someone's friend so hard that he's insane.
I do enjoy his dramatic roles, though.
I don't think I've watched one dramatic role.
Man on the Moon?
Oh, Man on the Moon. Fuck. I'm thinking of like 23 and more of his like edgier thriller type movies. But what Man on the Moon is great. I forget about that one.
What about The Existential Mind or whatever that
movie? Oh, yeah. That's whatever the fuck that is with the chick from Titanic.
Yeah,
that is a good movie too. I forget about that one. Yeah, that's weird because I forget that he's in these certain movies that are really great like that, because he's just part of an ensemble that's really good. But yeah, like Man on the Moon is really fucking good that he's leading. I mean, like I don't think people appreciate Andy Kaufman anymore the way they should, and I think that movie was probably the last gasp of Andy Kaufman love that was put out in the world. I think if people understood what he was going for, it would make more sense. But nobody is really doing that kind of comedy anymore.
Dude, nobody ever did that comedy except for him.
Yeah, that's true. Where you're just like, any reaction is the reaction you're trying to get.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely one of a kind. You know, so...
I started Doom Patrol season 3 again.
So I'm
back into finishing it. Michelle Gomez shows up, who I'm a big fan of. She was in Sabrina and Doctor Who. And so I'm like super excited to finish out Doom Patrol. And then I read an article from the cast and crew about like they were kind of bummed that they're getting canceled in season 4, that they were kind of looking forward to keep pushing that show and keep going. I really wish James Gunn would consider a Doom Patrol that was really this Doom Patrol to stay active in his universe.
Yeah, maybe he can bring him back into movies.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, the show is very heavy on like mental illness and dealing with your monsters, especially when your monsters are real in this world. And it's so wild because I was reading the Doom Patrol in the 90s that Grant Morrison was doing, and now seeing them on screen, to go four seasons is unbelievable, because this was weird shit back in the day. It's weird shit now. I mean, you have a farting donkey in the season premiere that takes you into another dimension.
Yeah.
Really? But I love it. I love Doom Patrol, so it's going to be sad to get to season four, but I'm really going to kind of savor these season three and season four as it finishes up.
Yeah, I just finished season three, so yeah, I'm looking forward to season four, you know. That'll be good.
Yeah. And then I revisited go ahead.
No, you
I started watching Room 237 again. We started talking about Kubrick on my other podcast, and I was like, I always like visiting that one because I'll get sucked into one of the concepts or urban legends about him, you know, faking the moon landing or something, and then go, man, maybe that's real. And then the next one is immediately batshit to go, wait, calm down. You're just getting too into it, because there's a couple in there that describe faking the moon landing and how he was telling it through the film, and I'll sit there and go, yeah, I can see it. but then there's some batshit ones that are like, okay, in this room where you see a skier who's on a poster, that's not a skier, that's a minotaur, and then they spend the next 10 minutes describing a minotaur so that you can see it. Even though it looks like a skier, when they say, well, what about the jet, or what about the poles that they're using to ski? Those are fake. You don't see them.
Right.
I just love that mentality of like, I see what I want to see, and what you see is fake. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. The 100,000 people that worked on the space program, they're all keeping their mouth shut.
Exactly. They're not revealing the big secret. We never made it to the moon.
That many times.
But yeah, that has been all I've watched this week. What else you got?
This morning I watched Out of the Furnace.
I don't know this.
Christian Bale, Woody Harrelson, Casey Affleck.
Wow. Wow.
And a great cast. Willem Dafoe.
Zoe Saldana, Forrest Whitaker.
Dude, it's a great cast. Fucking great movie. I love slow burn movies.
Yeah.
You know, and this is definitely a slow burn movie.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's on Hulu, it's on Max, it's on Roku.
Yeah, I watched it on Max. Definitely check it out, man.
Okay.
You'll like it.
It's produced by Leonardo DiCaprio, Ridley Scott. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Tony definitely. Scott. Huh?
Yeah, Tony Scott's on here, too.
Yeah, definitely check it out, man. I think you like it.
Yeah, it's one of those that you definitely see Christian Bale sinking himself into, because just the trailer pictures are all him looking like he's in some sort of like Southern Gothic noir.
Yeah, it's. I think this would be a good companion to Deer Hunter.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. Okay, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And that's all I've been watching. So the news, you got any news?
No, I mean, after last week, I think it was breaking that Matthew Perry died. That was just such a bummer. I've been kind of going through a lot of the people commenting. I know you weren't a Friends fan, but seeing there was just so many people that watch that show. It's interesting to see all the comments and commentary since then, but, what do you got for news?
So, they're going to make an It Follows sequel.
Yeah. So how are they going to bring the girl back?
Maybe they won't.
I don't know. Yeah, that's an iffy one to make a sequel to.
We'll see. Who knows what they're
going to do. Okay.
Maybe it'll be a prequel. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it'll be on a different planet. Who knows? They're doing
I'll take the different planet.
What's that?
I watch that.
They're doing a feature-length Indiana Jones Harrison Ford documentary on Disney Plus.
I guess to try to make up for the last movie.
The last movie is going to be on Disney Plus on December 1st. Have you seen it?
No, and I haven't really heard anything.
How do you know if it's good or not?
After the third one, I just feel like the magic's gone.
The third one?
The fourth one.
After Last Crusade?
No, not after Last Crusade. Last Crusade was the last ounce of magic that had, and it was because of that father-son relationship with Sean Connery. There was no relationship in the fourth film with the Crystal Skulls. It just was kind of a bust. And I feel like this was another grab here. Like when we're in times of just IP after IP grabbing any cash they can, and you see a Raider or an Indiana Jones movie come out and he's 80 years old making this movie, I don't feel like I'm going to get the same magic I got in the 80s.
Yeah. But I'm still watching it.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I just have no hype, no excitement for it. I don't know. Like, I want to see it, but I just don't feel like after Crystal Skull that I think it'll probably be along the lines of Crystal Skull. It'll be, you know, him walking through it. A few moments that they really want to be moments that you can see that just don't pan out.
Yeah, but I love anything Mads Mikkelsen does.
Oh, fuck yeah. He does add a lot to it, man. Fuck, I forget about that.
Yeah, so...
That's a huge bonus. I do dig that guy.
Yeah, he's the greatest. So next week we're watching $1 Million Brain from 1967.
Yes, let me pull up the trailer for that. $1 Million Brain. And this is a long ass trailer, so be prepared. No dialogue in this trailer whatsoever.
Well, what's the point in watching it?
I know. I was like, well, fuck this. Let's just talk about this for a second. We just discovered this was one of the Harry Palmer films. So I thought that the description of it sound kind of batshit. So I was like, let's do it. Then I discover it's in a long line of these spy films. So I'm excited to see it. And I guess we'll see y'all next week.
Okay, bye-bye.